congratulations, because you are the first people to hear. The coffee intro was never going away. It's too iconic. Or maybe just iconic to me, because that's the actual sound that wakes me up every morning and brings me literal joy. It's good to be back. Queers, queens, and in-betweens, hello and welcome to Same Sex, Same Shit. I'm Rochelle, and I'm joined by my fiance Maddie. We love to chat all things lesbian, and each week we'll be sharing that us queers do the same shit as everyone else.
Whether you're queer, straight, or somewhere in between, we are going to be oversharing on all things lesbian life and bringing some very important conversations on Australian. Yes, exclusively Aussie, because we have searched for it and there's nothing out there that narrows in on queer IVF journeys. We'll also be touching on queer women in power doing some wicked things and whatever other unfiltered lesbian chats happen in between.
So yes, the aim of this podcast is to be representation. Maddie, how many times have you heard that word? It's such a click word in the queer community. But no, the actual aim is to share with you guys, prove whatever, that queer people, lesbians, those in same-sex relationships still do the same shit as everyone else.
But better.
This week, we will be sharing our IVF journey for baby number two, which is a long one, and it's been a roller coaster.
Yes, it's been a wild roller coaster, to say the least, but we have had our seatbelts on the whole entire time, so we are safe, even though it's wild.
Hasn't felt like it.
Well.
Let's get into it. It's a long journey, but we hope that it sheds some light on our fertility journey and, you know, what that can look like for others. And hopefully you pull a few little gems from it if you're going through your IVF journey too. My beautiful fiancé. Yes. We have been going through IVF for baby number two since July last year. Do you want to talk us through the start of that, what that looked like from your perspective, where we kind of kicked it off with baby number two? So we had no embryos left after our first daughter, so it was a fresh start.
Yeah, so we got that one embryo with you, and that took, which was great. Smooth sailing. So jumping into the second IVF, and me coming from a fertile background with my mum, we were probably too confident maybe going into it. And it went from sunshine and rainbows to quickly like, oh, what the fuck? Like, what's happening? Why isn't this going our way? And we were faced with unexpected hurdles quite quickly over, the last 7 months, basically. So,
yeah, so a little throwback with our first daughter. We went through what's called reciprocal IVF, if you don't know our story. And so essentially, I went through IVF and had my eggs retrieved. We made them into little embryos, and Maddie carried, we had one embryo. Maddie carried that embryo. That's now our beautiful daughter. This time around, we are using the same donor, but we are using your eggs, Mads, which is very cool and very exciting. So the steps that we were to take for that, we had the option to look a little bit different. So first up, we did an IUI round in July.
Yep. So we went into that one confident, I think. So I forget what the percentage is for success rates, but I don't think we question whether we'll be in that percentage. I think we're both feeling fit, we're happy, things were going good, we felt that timing was right. And from the day that we did IUI, we just assumed almost that we were pregnant and all was going to go ahead. And
that didn't even take. There was nothing. No positive line.
No faint lines.
Nothing.
No. So that was a bit of a shock. And I think that's when we took a step back and said, okay, our first IVF story might have been smooth sailing, but we need to start looking at the options of things not going our way. And the sympathy straight up just went out to those people struggling. Like just from one failed IUI, like the emotional toll that even takes alone was a lot for us to handle, just to being wrong in your mindset and having to change it or convince yourself you're pregnant and then tell yourself you're not. That was the first hurdle of many that were to come. So,
and then so I suppose that our mindset after that came from a lot of different angles, but one of the ones was we used a de-identified anonymous donor sperm through the fertility clinic, and not only is it very expensive, so we're paying $1,200-$1,300 per vial. So with an IUI round, we used an entire vial. On top of that, you have the potential of that donor saying that they don't want to donate anymore, and then you're limited to how many vials of sperm you can have to create your family. So essentially, we, I suppose, made the decision that we didn't want to keep trying with insemination rounds, which uses a whole vial of sperm each time, for financial reasons, but also because a non-negotiable for us is that we want the same donor for all of our kids.
Yeah, we don't want kind of, it's already going to be challenging enough as it is, because obviously our donor has donated to other families as well. So that's something that we need to be wary of as they get older and start living their adult life as well. So yeah, we want to do our best that we can just to keep that same donor for all of our kids, all 20 of our kids.
I don't have the money to have 20 kids with
I don't have the energy, don't worry.
So what did it look like next? So IUI was out the window. We were like, okay, well, that didn't work. So we've got to pick up our thoughts and move on to the next month.
Yeah, so we had the four vials, used the one for IUI. We're down to three. Did we purchase?
I don't even remember. I'm just throwing money at the fertility clinic at this point.
You said they were $1,200, $1,300. Remind you that they are like $1,700 now. They've gone up. Ugh. Everything's gone up. House prices, sperm. Shit's crazy.
The world's gone loose.
Noodles for dinner yet? So, yeah, moving forward, IUI kind of got a bit too sketchy for us. We didn't want to risk going through another vial and having the same outcome possibly. So we both said and agreed quite quickly that IVF, given that it is more success rate to do IVF, is, even though it's more expensive, we just, it became, money wasn't a factor. It was more the success rate and what we want as a family moving forward. So I started IVF and lovely bunch of injections to collect my eggs.
You guys will have absolutely no idea what just happened, because this will be edited perfectly, but Maddie just took off like a bat out of hell because it started raining and we had washing on the line. So we've had a little five minute break to dance in the rain and get the washing off the line.
Gotta do it. You can't have clothes wet. You can't do it again.
So we were up to your first round of IVF.
Yes.
Took the injections like a trooper. Let's talk about it.
So that went really well. The injections were fine. Like you said, I'm fine with needles. And how I felt along the way was almost, I was almost skeptical that it was even working, to be honest, because I was like, I don't feel too different. I feel a little bit of soreness, like a tiny bit, but nothing to complain about. And so going into the egg collection day, I was a bit like, I'm not sure how many eggs are going to be. So, because I don't feel much. Thankfully, that was, obviously, some people can have a really wild and painful experience with those and can hardly walk and whatnot. So I was grateful going into the egg collection with the pain that I felt, and surprisingly woke up with the number 25 on my head. So when you get an egg collection, for those that don't know, when you go under GA, they collect your eggs and you wake up and the number of eggs that they collected is written on your hand. So it's a bit of a weird concept. I don't know why they do that.
We went into it kind of a little bit naive, I suppose, because when I did my egg retrieval, we didn't do a whole lot of research. We didn't really know what we were going in for. And I woke up with the number 5 on my hand, which essentially I was told that I was going to get, you know, a fair, like 14. So when I woke up with 5, we were a little bit devastated. We've spoken about my journey before, but I guess then we still didn't do a whole lot of research. So then when you, Mads, woke up with 25, we were like, wow.
I felt like King Kong. I was banging on my chest big time. I was like, take that, infertility. We've got this in the bag.
And so then all those thoughts go through your head, like those discussions that you have that night with your partner. If you've been through IVF, you will know what I'm talking about. We were like, okay, so we got 25 eggs, maybe 20 will fertilize, and then maybe 12 will grow to day 5 embryos, and you speculate and you guess all these numbers and you're like, this is going to happen. And yeah, you have those conversations with your partner that nobody really knows what goes on in the background, those little minutes in between this entire long IVF journey.
No, I was like 25. I'm like, 10's my lucky number. I'm like, yep. I was like, that's a minimum, 10 it is. And I was so confident in that. So back to what you're saying actually about the eggs and how much you estimate you're going to get. Like when you said, I was told I was going to get 14. So they do a scan and they can actually check on your follicles and your ovaries as you're going through the process. So they can kind of estimate how many follicles are actually growing and possibly will be collected. But in saying that, that number can be accurate, but it cannot be so accurate as well, because not all eggs, not all follicles have eggs in them. So that was an, another learning curve that we had as well. So you can have literally this little circle and you're like, yeah, that's an egg, but actually it's just like a, is it a fluid sac or something just hanging out in your ovary?
I think so.
Anyways, I was just trying to clarify. So we had the 25 eggs collected and they pour a whole vial of sperm on top of those eggs after they're collected. And we were keen, like Rochelle said, we were sitting there buzzing, throwing numbers in the air overnight, can't wait for that phone call the next day from the nurses to tell us what the outcome was and how many took overnight. And when we got the phone call, we were buzzing, excited, and then she dropped the number one at us.
Mm. Out of the 25 eggs that Mads had collected, only one had fertilized at all.
And that means, so you still got to get through those 5 days to see if it makes it to the embryo phase too. So I think it's about a 50% rate chance of egg fertilizing and then 50% chance from there whether it's going to make it to an embryo or not too. So fingers were stupidly crossed, like fingers, toes, whatever we could have crossed was crossed for that one little tucker, because we were like, this is it, this is another one embryo situation. And so we were hanging on to all hope that this embryo was going to make it and it was going to be the same story as Mackie's.
Yeah, so that's not to say in that time, you, that day that you got that phone call, Mads, you were like obviously upset and beside yourself. You felt, I suppose, from my perspective, you felt kind of like a little bit, not like a failure, but, you know, in the sense you were like, why? Like, why have my eggs not fertilized? Like, what's going on? Is it something wrong with them? Is it something wrong with me? Because when I got 5 eggs and only one fertilized, you know, you can kind of see how that can happen. But when you have 25 eggs and only one fertilizes,
yeah,
you... it really, really took you by surprise and knocked you around for a little while.
And as humans, it always feels better to point fingers at something other than yourself, like when there's an issue. But so the first with the IUI, I was like, oh, maybe the donor doesn't have good swimmers. And then I did when I got the eggs collected and only the one fertilized, I'm like, fuck, maybe it's me. And then you start kind of getting upset with yourself because you're like, what have I done wrong? What do I need to do better? What didn't I do? Was I not fit enough? Was I not healthy enough? Was I not eating the right things? And you start playing this game of, I fucked up. Like, what did I, like, what is this? Like, this shouldn't happen. And yeah, it was tough. I almost went numb to a point because I was in shock. And then once I was getting over the shock, I was blaming myself. So it was a really tough time for us. And we were living out of home at that time too, house hopping with the toddler while our place was being renovated. And it was, fuck, it was a shit time. It was mentally really hard.
And so you can see that the impact that that one, and one being fertilized is still, you know, better than none, right? Yeah. And there's always stories out there that are going to be even more devastating than that outcome. But you can see how little hurdles in the IVF journey can really just knock you down and knock you down and knock you down. And you pour so much time and energy and effort into this process, and you desperately want a family, and you're going through all these hormones and under general. And then, yeah, when you get kind of news like that, it does knock you down bit by bit. But we flipped our mindset, as you said a little bit earlier. We were like, this is Mac all over again. We had the one that fertilized. Let's hope it grows into a little embryo. And it did. It made it to a day 5 embryo.
Strong little tucker. Yep. Made it all the way to the day 5. So we were stoked. We were static. And I got into fitness, made sure I was doing all the right things because obviously wanted to optimize the chances of that being successful. To wrap it up in a short version, we didn't wait. Once we did the embryo transfer, we didn't wait for the blood test because Rochelle and I have no patience to wait for that blood test at 2 weeks when they tell you you're pregnant or not. and we peed on a stick. What day was it? Like 4 days post, possibly?
4 or 5 days post, yeah.
And we saw the line, and it was reliving that moment like we had with when we saw the line with Macklin. Like, we're like, this is it. Like, we see the line, we're pregnant, we yahooed. So with that, then we were keen. We had the mindset we were pregnant again. Went to do that 2 week blood test, and sadly, the nurse said to us that the levels were looking a bit sad and low. So they were there. So the embryo had implanted, but it had stopped developing and it didn't stick around. So again, another beautiful hurdle we were faced with, and another why me? What did I do wrong again? And it was another little sad ball sack that I was in.
And the first time we'd navigated pregnancy loss as well.
Yeah.
So we were then grieving that all while we were out of home and renovating a family home that we had just bought. And on top of that, then obviously that was our only embryo. So our only option was to go back and do another IVF egg collection.
Yeah.
But you decided to take a month off after that.
Yeah, with the combination of being pregnant and then it not sticking around and having that loss, and then mentally knowing the steps we had to take to continue the family that we wanted and to create the family that we wanted, the steps that were ahead of us, I was exhausted at the thought of having to go through the IVF injections again, the egg collection again, more under general anesthetic. And it's just such a waiting game for IVF. Like, you forever counting down everything that you're doing, and days seem so long, and you're trying your best to stay positive, but it is, I can't describe just how exhausting it was for us at that point, that turning point when we realized we have to do this process again, we have to pay X amount of money again, we're down another vial of sperm, which is scary because that means 2 in the bank now left, and it was terrifying almost. So you had this loss, scared, all this stuff, like all, it was a combination of every emotion I think I've ever felt in my life, like all in one hit.
Yeah. And the next step up from IVF is a process called ICSI, where they essentially inject the sperm directly into the egg. So my understanding is that then increases the chance of, what's the word I'm looking for?
Fertilization,
that's it. And more chance of creating embryos. So we had big chats with our obstetrician and the fertility clinic at the time, because even they were kind of blown away. They were like, we're so sorry, we don't know what's happened. This donor does have good success rates with fertilization and whatnot.
Like, people had fell pregnant through IUI with using the same donor as us. So we knew...
We still don't know, but you can kind of speculate, being like, well, what's going on?
Yeah.
So they kind of said to us, look, we want to do ICSI this time with you, because we're really shocked at the low fertilization rates as well with the high number of eggs that you got, Mads. And we also want to do this new kind of thing, which is showing really good results. It's a calcium activation. So essentially, after they do the ICSI procedure, they then put their little sperm and egg into calcium for like 15 minutes after. Apparently it's meant to help with the, anyway, whatever, science stuff. And so you took a month off, and then we went through a whole nother egg retrieval. Talk us through that one, because that was a little bit different, I suppose, again.
Yeah, so I was informed during the process with the higher number of egg collections that normally big numbers don't necessarily mean great. It means... like, they like the number between, I think they said 12 and 16 eggs is a nice solid number, where if you get too many, I think they start questioning the quality that you're getting. So too many can be X, Y, Z reasons. I don't know. But apparently big numbers is not always the best. So I went into it going, okay, let's aim for 12 to 16. The scans were showing in my follicles after I was going through the injections that I was going to get about, I think they said about
15 to 16. Yeah.
So I was like, okay, cool. I'm nailing this. This is the amount of follicles I have. This is a good number. And I went in as confident as I could be and as optimistic as I could be given the previous run that we had. And I woke up and I saw 28 on my fucking hand. So last time I was fist pumping with the big numbers, and then this time I just broke. I just woke up and cried. It was yeah, something that I wasn't expecting, and then already I was in my head, these eggs are shit. These
yeah, and that emotion stems from, that's not saying that 28 might not have been a really good number for some people, but that emotion stemmed from your previous rounds yeah. and what you'd been told by the obstetrician, the chemical pregnancies, the low fertilization rate, all that kind of trauma and hurdles that we had gone through the months prior. Waking up and seeing 28, your thought was, it's even worse than last time.
Yeah. No, because I've spoken to women, like I get chatting with all the women that are going through IVF in the room with you with your little shower caps on and you're sitting there waiting. And yeah, I've heard, there was a lady I met and she had 20 something and she had 12 embryos make it. So there's success stories, but for me personally, I didn't think a big number was good given my circumstance. So,
but we were positive, optimistic. We were going through ICSI. We were like, let's fertilize these 28 babies.
Yeah, so a lot of them hung on. So a lot of 21 fertilized overnight. Even though they did inject individually to the 28, 7 did drop off and didn't fertilize.
But 21 is huge. That's way massive. Bigger than we got the round before.
Yeah, and then we went through that phase again. We were jumping for joy, little bunny rabbits in the lounge room again and going through the motions and trying to be excited and not as optimistic as we could because we felt like we're actually getting somewhere finally with this process. So I think by day five we did the embryo transfer
mm-hmm.
and we had 3 embryos that day and there were, I think, 4 hanging on. They said they want to give them one more day to see if they're going to develop. None of those which made it. So we, day 5, they froze the 2 and we transferred the 1. So we got 2 in the freezer and then we transferred 1.
Yep.
Does that all make sense? I confused myself for a second there.
Breakdown. We had 28 eggs. We did ICSI, 21 of them fertilized. By day 5, they said you have 3 really good quality day 5 embryos and another 4. So 4, 5, 6, 7 in total. Maths is not my strong suit. 3 really good day 5 embryos, 4 that we're hoping are going to grow a little bit more and be good day 6 embryos. So on day 5, we did a transfer with 1, a fresh transfer, and then we froze 2. And then we got a call the next day saying none of the other 4 made it. Recap.
Which is okay.
It's fine. So we did the transfer.
We did the transfer, yes. And this time, we couldn't help ourselves, peed on the stick, saw the line, got it semi-excited because we've been there, done that, and we've had it taken from us, so we were cautiously happy. And then we did the blood test and got congratulated by the nurses because their levels, the HCG levels and progesterone, everything was going fine and it was where it needed to be. So then
we were like, it's worked.
This is it.
It's worked.
We jumped with bunnies in the lounge room. And and then we had a follow-up blood test after the first one, which was how long after the 2-week bloods?
I think it was around the 6-week mark that you got that second blood, yeah. Just before you go off for that first scan.
Yeah, so between 2 weeks and 6 weeks, like that 4-week window there, that was fucking hard because you're sitting there touching your tits if they're sore enough, if like I'm trying to feel things that I felt with Macklin, and I did have sore boobs, but then there wasn't enough giving me reassurance because kind of I knew I was pregnant with Macklin because I had the fatigue. I was puffing up the stairs. I was puffing over eating watermelon at one point. So I wasn't feeling as much as I would have liked to, but the blood test said, yeah, I've been congratulated by the nurses. I had to reassure myself and be optimistic and say, this is it. Like, let's take it as a win that I'm not feeling too much. However, the second blood test came back and it was the same story as the last one, but we had just made it further. So we got to about, I think the embryo stopped growing about week 5, it must have, so we had another miscarriage, which was fucked. It was just fucked. To put in a nutshell, I can't explain, even like with all these hurdles that we've been through to get this far to be congratulated. So every time we got closer and closer and like three
further
times
along, yeah, every time,
and it had been robbed from us again. And oh, I don't think you can there's plenty of women out there that can relate to this, and because I know how common infertility is and miscarriages are 1 in 4, I think it is, which is a stupid fucking odd, like that's stupid high. So the amount of miscarriages people have gone through, and yeah, it was only about 5 weeks, but it's still like
It's a long process. You'd been through an egg retrieval. We had paid tens of thousands of dollars. You, every single minute of every day, you're talking about it. You're checking for symptoms. You're, you know, touching base with the fertility clinic. You're peeing on a stick. You're
not exercising, not eating the way I want.
Not drinking, like it's just, not doing what you would, like doing everything as if you're pregnant.
Yeah, and that's it. So you've got to live like you're pregnant, and you're told you're not, like at the 6 week mark. You're just like, well, fuck, like I changed my whole life, my routine, my everything, and was told I'm pregnant, and but now you're telling me no. Like the concept to be like, oh, well, what the hell then? And then my boobs are still sore. Like after I was trying to convince myself, okay, this has taken a turn again. I was like, but my boobs still hurt. My, like, I still feel some things going on. And the boobs, like sore boobs lasted for a while until I got my period. I was like, okay.
And it's just a blow because you're waking up every morning with pregnancy symptoms.
Yeah.
But you know you're not pregnant.
Yeah, and it was tough. And so when I got my cycle, I think that's only when I started actually processing that, okay, this is genuinely a miscarriage. Like I it didn't work. Okay, I'll start convincing myself this is the case. And then it was so hard to get back on my feet.
And on top of that, because your hormones were so crazy.
Yep.
It's okay. It's been a long journey. Because your hormones were so crazy. Stop, you're going to make me cry.
It's okay, I'm happy now.
They said to us, it was December of last year at this point, they said to us, one, we're closing over the Christmas period, so I'm not sure that it's going to line up to be able to do another frozen embryo transfer because we still had two embryos at that point. And then your hormones were just wild. Like they said, your chances of falling pregnant are so low because your hormones are still so out of balance. We wouldn't want to put you through that. So we then made the decision. We just moved into our newly renovated family home. We were like, look, okay, let's enjoy the Christmas, New Year's festive season, take a load off, have some drinks with family and friends, get back into exercise, do things that make you feel good and feel happy, and we'll start the new year nice and fresh, feeling good. So
yeah, I don't think mentally either of us could go through anything extra anyways, and we needed that reset with the family and to not focus on being pregnant or what I'm feeling or this and that, except for just let's enjoy ourselves. Let's hold hands. Let's be happy and just really cherish the shit out of Macklin and appreciate what we already have. So,
and after the second miscarriage, our obstetrician, God, she's so beautiful, said to us, do you girls think that you should just have a little break? Like, you've got a lot going on right now. You're renovating, you're moving home, you're living out of home, you've got a toddler, you're both working full time, been through multiple IVF rounds, multiple miscarriages. Like, do you think it's just time that your body's telling you that you're stressed? And we're like, we're not stressed.
I don't feel anything.
We feel fine. We don't feel anything. And looking back in hindsight, she was totally right. And I think that subconsciously we were going through a lot. And so I think that break over Christmas was the best thing that we could have done, as much as you just want to get in there and try again. And every month you're like, I want to be pregnant this month. I want to be pregnant. It's been going on for 7 months now. Like I could be 6 months pregnant. And yeah, but we enjoyed the time and started again in January.
Yeah. So we had the two embryos left.
Mm-hmm.
And we have since done an embryo transfer. So everybody cross your fucking fingers, because I'm not sure how much more we can take. And yeah, we've reset. We feel good. Hopefully I've had an iron infusion. It's the only thing different. Like I sat there and I thought, as we're resetting, what did I do differently that worked with Macklin that I haven't done this time? And the only thing that I had done differently was got an iron infusion. So I checked my iron levels. Yep, they were low enough to get an iron infusion.
Catastrophically low, says the hematologist.
And so I got an iron infusion, and this is exactly what I did for Macklin. And we are going in with every bit of optimism we have. The embryo is hopefully in there working. It's beautiful little magic. And
if you're listening to this podcast, congratulations, because you are the first people to hear that we have done an embryo transfer again. We haven't shared that publicly online. We've shared it with our intimate circle. But yeah, we're feeling really, really positive, really optimistic. And let's hope this little embryo is our one. So that is our journey for baby number two. And God, I hope that baby number two is in there and thriving. I know that it is. 2024 is our year.
And we can't keep entertaining Macklin as much as we can. Like she needs someone to help with the entertainment.
She needs a sibling. She plays with her doll absurdly, like way too much.
Sits in a room by herself reading books. As much as she loves it, it makes her still feel bad. So anyways, anyone that's out there that's gone through infertility or even just going through the IVF process, even alone, if it is just a successful one like it was with us with Macklin first time round, that still takes an emotional toll and just heartstrings are pulled left, right, for any family that go through IVF because it's fucking nuts. Mm. And anyways, everyone's got capes on that go through IVF because to do that, it takes strong people. And yeah, everyone, I hope everyone is getting what they want and dream of with their families.
And we don't feel like there is enough queer Australian IVF stories out there. So we are sharing ours. We are going to be bringing guests on who are going to be sharing theirs because every IVF journey looks different. We have already interviewed some guests that will be being released in the coming weeks about their IVF journey and different really interesting factors about their journey that you might resonate with, or that if you're starting going through it, that it might help you because I know that when we went through with Mac, there was not a lot of information out there. So if you picked up any little gem, pot of gold, whatever from this episode, we really, really hope so. And I just want to touch base, Maddie, why are you carrying again? Why have you been going through and not me? That is one question that we keep getting asked about baby number two.
I didn't mind being pregnant with Mackie's. I enjoyed it almost. I find baby bumps beautiful. I think women are stunning, stretch marks and all. I love pregnant women. I think it's a beautiful concept. I think it's wild. And
yeah, you look hot pregnant.
Pigmentation and all, my varicose veins. So hot. Just given our work situation, me being based in Sydney for work and doing the fly in, fly out gig, and you being based closer to home with your work, it's easier. It makes sense that I'm the one to carry again. And like I said, I don't mind being pregnant. But if we're having more than two, I think maybe your uterus might be up next then.
Nope. Okay.
I'll fly and fly.
Everyone, thank you so much for listening to our first episode. We are thrilled. We are so thrilled to be back in your ears. I'm so excited about the future of this podcast and what there is to come. We are going to be sharing so much queer goodness, like so much. And if you have any requests of what you want us to talk about, or you want to hear, or any guests that you want us to interview, anything at all, please, please, please let us know because we want to share lesbian life to the whole world. We want to be in everyone's ears. So thank you.
And the juicier, the better. Love you. Bye.
Bye. Thank you all so much for listening today. If you'd like to connect with us and stay up to date with our day-to-day life as well as future episodes, you can do so on our socials at those.2mums. We absolutely love bringing you these conversations each week, so if you love it too, please subscribe and leave us a review. Chat to you all next week. Bye.